Welcome to Shameless, the pop culture podcast for smart people who love dumb stuff. You're joined, as always, by Melbourne writers Michelle Andrews and Zara McDonald. I don't know why I'm reading it. It's a line I've said every day for the last 5 years.
Hello, Zara McDonald. Hello, producer Annabelle Lee. We are in a brand new space.
Hi. I'm like, that was very loud by me. I'm like, where am I?
We're slightly offbeat today because we are not in our home. We are in a different studio. We are filming this for you. It's a full video episode to celebrate the end of the year. Of course, it's the 2023 Shameless End of Year Awards.
The COWAs, which I only realised recently that we've made the acronym Shameless End of Year Awards, COWAs. I was looking at it when we were preparing this episode, being like, is it supposed to be COYAs? COYAs?
It's a silent Y.
A silent now, Y, so it's the COWAs.
We, as you guys know.
Or COYAS.
Oh, you know what? Let's not yassify it. I think we're going to non-yassify the COWAs. Now, as you guys know from last year, the COWAs are where we acknowledge the biggest pop culture stories and celebrity stories from the year. Mm. What we've done this year is we have enlisted 1,000 Shameless listeners, a brains trust of Shameless listeners, to vote on their favourite stories across a few different categories. We don't know what the winners of the awards are. Our producer Chelsea is off to the right behind the camera. She's put together the world's cutest little envelopes for us.
They're teeny tiny. We ordered them online thinking we were getting proper envelopes. They're envelopes for mice, but they're really cute.
They should be at least three times the size. Get it?
No.
Oh, okay. Have you not seen Zoolander?
Oh.
Anyway, let's move on. They're not particularly put well or neatly on that table, but we are so happy to be here, Mish.
We are so happy to be here. It's all made possible by Dan Murphy's and Dan's Daily. Watch along, guys. Given it's a video episode, you can see our faces as we present this one right now. All you need to do is go into Spotify. If you have a Spotify account, just search for Shame More. That is our subscription platform, but you do not need a subscription to watch this. We've just made it accessible for all. Also, hook it up to your TV. I feel like this could be a fun one if you want to have a drink along with us. Put it on your TV. Watch this episode in full.
I can't wait. I am a bit nervous about the fact that I have to be conscious of my facial expressions this whole time.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, often when we're not talking.
It's just resting in the office.
Yeah. Sometimes I take a little nap.
Yes. I'm going to have to
little power nap.
Yeah, true. Well, I was on Twitter last week and found stories. I am a bit nervous about that, so I will do my best to be very engaged.
I feel like we're all on. We're all good. We're here. We're ready for a good time. This is the Shameless End of Year Awards, the season. Yo, yes.
The Shameless. The COWAs.
Like, we're on. And then I fell into an absolute
and then we went off.
She's off.
Shall we jump into the first category today?
Please.
It's my favourite. It is Clanger of the Year.
Clanger of the Year. Of course, this goes out to, we actually had this at the first COYAs last year, guys. We had Clanger of the Year. It's just for the person who maybe said the clunkiest thing, did the clunkiest thing. Our first nominee is Prince Harry for his virginity story.
Do we remember?
Oh, yes, very faintly, I must admit.
Let's take you back on the journey. Now, this was this year. This kind of threw me a bit because I would have said this was last year easily if someone had quizzed me. But no, it was from the start of this year. Prince Harry's memoir came out in January this year. And on January 10, he told the world, as part of this memoir, how he lost his virginity.
Now, oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
I do.
He told readers of his book that he lost his virginity to an older woman who treated him like a young stallion. Discussing what he called the inglorious episode, he said, "She liked horses quite a lot and treated me not unlike a young stallion. Quick ride, after which she smacked my rump and sent me off to graze. Among the many things about it that were wrong, it happened in a grassy field behind a busy pub."
Behind a busy pub. Did we really enjoyed a horse metaphor?
I was going to say, did we ever give enough kind of credit to the horse metaphor when we read this out the first time?
Credit? I don't know if it deserves enough credit. It kind of makes me want to die. Now, this woman that Prince Harry lost his virginity to came forward to identify herself. This was my favourite part of the story. Sasha Walpole is her name, and she said she almost fell off her sofa when she heard their grassy sex story retold to the world in Harry's memoir. Sasha said that she was easily identifiable, which I would like to maybe bone with.
Among some circles, she was probably easily identifiable, but I was never going to find out.
Not in our circle.
No, I love it when that happens. Someone's like, I simply must tell my story to the whole world.
But if it's true and the story, you know, had been told about her, I'd be like, well, I guess it was me.
Now, the audience need to decide, is it the virginity story that's a bigger clanger, or is the frost-bitten penis that's the bigger clanger?
Maybe the great clanger is Prince Harry's quotes in his memoir, because of course we had the frostbitten penis. He spoke about the fact that before the wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton in 2011, he had been like hiking.
He'd been to the North Pole, and he said this. Upon arriving home, as in arriving home from the North Pole, I'd been horrified to discover that my nether regions were frost-nipped as well. And while my ears and cheeks were already healing, the todger wasn't. It was becoming more of an issue by the day.
Yes, he went on. Pa was very interested and sympathetic about the discomfort of my frost-nipped ears and cheeks, and it was an effort not to overshare. And tell him also about my equally tender penis.
Tender? The wording of equally tender penis? It's just too much.
Nominee number one.
A strong nominee. Mm-hmm.
A strong nominee. An equally strong nominee in number two. Now, I reckon a lot of our listeners will have forgotten this story, but this will still stand up as one of my favourite story of the year. The next nominee is the writer, the British writer, who told the world her husband isn't hot anymore.
Oh my goodness, yes.
It's taking us back. In fact, it's taking us back to March. When, and I mean, we need to be self-aware. It's maybe not strictly pop culture.
No,
story,
it's not at
but
all.
We're bending it because writer Molly Gunn, who also goes by the Instagram handle at selfishmotherblog, she wrote an op-ed in The Times with the headline, "My husband used to be hot. If I met him now, would I still fancy him?"
The title was bad. The story is worse. Now, I feel her opener when she opened this story is probably one of the most revealing parts of this whole thing, because she wrote, "I want you to know before we go any further that Tom has signed off on me writing about this. 3 years ago, I wrote about our marriage and pondered the idea of us getting divorced to a global audience. He only found out about it when I posted the piece to my 116,000 Instagram followers." Oops.
Oops.
Now, it's a bit of a track record.
She went on. "On some days I do fancy him. So on some days we do get intimate. But on other days, I look at this grown-up 45-year-old man with his furrowed brow, a habit of talking with food in his mouth, an unfortunate green-gold gilet, and a cap grimace that hides his now coarse salt and pepper hair. And I think, who are you? Who is this man I'm married to? Where is Tom?"
Where is Tom?
She went on. "Sometimes it makes me sad that the Tom I met is gone. The handsome, chilled out DJ with worn in tees and long hair is no longer around. Tom is still funny. This week he has been calling himself your formerly hot husband, but his banter is less frequent, less playful. He no longer pats my bum on regular occasions. It used to be a thing. He no longer calls me Molly Mott the Moo. Now it's just Mo."
Just Mo.
Now, Molly also said that she has begun tuning out when her husband Tom talks for longer than 2 minutes and that she feels trapped. I remember when we did this segment back in March, we were like, justice for Tom, and I still feel exactly that way. Justice for Tom.
This is quite a clanger. I know it's probably not going to have won because people won't have remembered it, but I think this might be close to my winner. Our third nominee, our third and final nominee, is Rupert Murdoch and his short-lived engagement, also in March this year.
I feel like the early months of this year were ripe for a clanger.
Totally. And honestly, guys, we had to cull this category down. There could have been 20 stories.
We were selective. Yeah. Now, this came less than a year after it was announced that Rupi and Jerry Hall were divorcing. The then 92-year-old Rupert Murdoch, of course, announced in March that he was to be married again to 66-year-old Anne Leslie Smith. He did an exclusive with the New York Post to mark the occasion, and herein lies the clanger.
Yes, he... He said, actually, it's like the fourth time we've read this quote on the show this year. "I was very nervous. I dreaded falling in love, but I knew this would be my last. It better be." I actually didn't sort of settle on that one enough, that line. "I'm happy. We're both looking forward to spending the second half of our lives together."
92 years old and he's planning on another 92 years.
If anyone was going to do it. Now, clanger number two occurred 2 weeks later when the engagement was called off.
It's kind of wild that this does sound like a storyline from Succession.
Totally.
Like it sounds stranger than reality.
Absolutely. I actually went back through our notes and our run sheet for this episode back in March, and I thought this from our notes was quite funny. This is what we wrote in our notes. I don't know if it was you and I don't know if it was me. The second half of Rupert's life is officially back up for grabs because apparently he has called off his engagement to Anne Leslie Smith 2 weeks after it was announced.
Do you remember, Annabelle, why they called off the engagement?
No.
It was very sudden.
Was it something he did?
No. Anne Leslie Smith was quite evangelical, and when tabloids started writing about that, Rupert said, no, I can't spend the second half of my life with a woman who's evangelical.
Evangelical. Shall we award the winner?
Yes. Who do we think's going to win before Annabelle opens the envelope?
I think Prince Harry's going to win. Who would you vote for?
I think the listeners are going to vote for Rupert Murdoch. I would like for Molly Gunn to win.
Molly Gunn will not win. She's my winner. I think Prince Harry will win. Annabelle?
I'm guessing Rupee.
Yeah, I think Rupee. I think
it'll be Rupee. Let's go. All right. Oh my God.
Here's the envelope.
The listeners are there.
It's so fun.
I'm like kind of shaking, guys. Okay.
You imagine have to say if we and had, the award goes to.
Imagine if we had one of those award show moments where we mix up the winners. Okay.
Yeah. That'd be quite a play.
Joe Jonas, I don't know. Okay, the winner is Prince Harry. Yay.
Can we clap? Is that what we do?
I also give my own award to Molly Gunn, though.
These are the cutest little envelopes. Last touch
for the people watching. Now, the next award category is TikTok of the Year. Wow, we've just thrown this.
It's getting absolutely wild.
All right, so TikTok of the Year. Our first nominee, of course, is the Fitzroy Garage Party. This one, again, was right from the beginning of 2023. It actually happened maybe at the very, very end of December, but the chatter about it was definitely happening in January, so we decided that it counts. This actually also just recently won TikTok of the Year at the Australian TikTok Awards. So, I mean, it had to be in ours.
It had to be in ours. We had to talk about it. I mean, who could possibly forget? We had a whole group of young people, young men, filming themselves having a party in Fitzroy. It was very grunge.
It opened with one throwing an egg at a brick wall.
Yeah, and then someone else was getting like a buzz cut.
A buzz cut, yeah.
The tapping of the top of the
group. Also, this is one for the video viewers.
Yeah.
The hands together, prayer sign towards the camera.
I actually think I could probably do this off the top of my head. It feels like a choreographed dance.
Yeah.
Now, the question that was on everybody's lips in January was cool or cringe?
Yeah, and a lot of people decided cringe, but I say as time has gone on, so cringe it's become cool.
I agree. I think it's done a full 360. Started cool, went to cringe, back to cool.
Yeah.
It also went fully globally viral. Like this was reported across the world. I found people on my TikTok feed at the time from like the UK talking about Fitzroy, which was so bizarre.
There were people in Scotland doing spoof videos of this.
It was so weird. And then later we found out from Brian Taylor, AFL Great, who was probably sitting in the studio behind us because on the Dylan Friends podcast.
Oh, yes!
Because we're at Producey today.
Where it happened, guys. This is an immersive experience for you all.
Brian Taylor went on the Dylan Friends podcast and said, I own the house of the Fitzroy Garage Party. It was my kids in that. And it was quite niche. And I don't think that story got picked up nearly as much as it should have.
No, but he did say on the Dylan Friends podcast, every day there are people lined up, many people out the front taking photos going, this is it. This is the sesh.
A proper landmark.
Yeah, it is. I think it actually is. All right, our second nominee for TikTok of the Year, the trend of Roman Empire. Guys, Roman Empire has entered the everyday lexicon. What is your Roman Empire?
It's wild to me how quickly this has entered the lexicon. Like, it's everywhere. People just using this in everyday conversation when I'm out socially, as if everybody would obviously understand the context of a TikTok trend, which I just think is, like, deeply impressive. Of course, this story is from September.
Yep.
Kind of fun fact here, same week that Hugh Jackman and Deborah Lee Furness broke up.
Oh.
Or it was announced that they
broke
up.
What a moment in time.
I would have thought Roman Empire was a bit older than this, but this is from September and this is how quickly it's caught on.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, it was a pretty simple concept. Videos started to go viral where women were asking their male partners how often they thought of the Roman Empire. Mm. And it turns out a lot of men think about the Roman Empire every single day because not much else is going on up there.
Not much else is going on up there. I think that's not harsh enough. That's our second nominee. Our third nominee for TikTok of the Year is Wedding of the Century.
Oh, gosh.
Anyone who's listened to the show recently is all too familiar with this one. Texan car dealership heiress Madeline Brockway got married in a very, very bougie wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Some reports said 50 million, others said 90 million. We decided to be semi-conservative and we just started rolling with the stat 60 mil.
Not my favorite part about this story. There's lots I love about this story, but is that I think every time I see a headline about this wedding, the figure gets bigger. It's like no one actually knows, but let's just add a little bit mayo.
$1 billion wedding.
Every time. Now, of course, it was just a lot of money. We know we had lunch at a Chanel haute couture salon in France. They stayed at Versailles, which again, nobody knows how you can actually do.
It's no Melbourne Aquarium,
thank
but
you.
It's something.
That is the joke we will reuse for today. I mean, of course, it was that registry where there was a US $12,000 butterfly glass.
Crystal butterfly house.
So,
in case any butterflies are wanting to move
into the crystal butterfly house.
Now, for all wedding, you butterflies. Wow. No, I'm sorry.
The wedding was at a chateau and they had a live orchestra as well as a live Maroon 5 concert. Zara reckons she could do better. She doesn't want Maroon 5.
I said they wouldn't be my first choice, but perhaps nor would a $90 million wedding be my first choice.
I just feel like that's
Charlotte is our videographer.
Zip it.
She's off to the left of me now and she's laughing
keep
at one
it together.
Of these jokes.
I feel like the Maroon 5 song that starts with beauty queen at only 18, that would go off at a wedding.
That's true.
Just imagine like everyone down on the dance floor. No.
I feel like that's a sad song. Is it not, Zara? Lyric expert?
Yeah, no, it is a sad song.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I think it's a sad song. God, you're really testing me right now. Now, of course, after the wedding, we had that like wild pivot where it became clear that the husband of Madeleine Brockway, Jacob Legrone, is now facing multiple decades in prison for firing a gun at police in March this year.
Allegedly firing a gun.
But he's facing huge penalties. So naturally, the question we kept asking ourselves is, why such a big wedding?
Why such
with this
a big
in the background? Backwound.
Backwound.
It's not a lot of editing going on today.
Backwound. Which brings us to Annabelle, will you do the honors?
Yes.
Who has won this category? I'm going to give my vote to Roman Empire.
I'm going to give my vote to Fitzroy Garage Party because I feel like we put up our poll just after the TikTok Awards and that will be freshest in everybody's mind. Kelsey, our producer to the right behind camera, is nodding at me. So is that mean I'm right?
Chelsea is the only one in the room who actually knows the winners.
It's like the Brownlow.
Yeah. I'm going to guess Fitzroy Garage Party as well.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no, you can't rip them.
Oopsies. And the winner of this category.
I don't think that was what I mispronounced anyway.
No, I run with it. Is the Roman Empire.
Oh, yes!
Two from two.
Clap, 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 throwing this one to the side as well. Very nice.
Good voting, everyone.
Oh, wonderful voting. Guys, we have so many more awards to come. First, a word from today's sponsor.
Alright guys, time for our third category. We called 2023 the year of Divorcegeddon, but only because I feel like there were maybe 3 to 4 months where everyone got divorced and then the divorces really dried up. It was like the European summer, everyone wanted to split.
Well, it's interesting because I remember as this was happening, people were like, are there more divorces than usual or are we just focusing on all the divorces? But when I was going back through every single run sheet we did, I was like, no, there is absolutely far, far more divorces this year.
Yeah.
And big, big name divorces than any other year. Again, we couldn't include every divorce. I was fighting very hard for Sofia Vergara's divorce to make it into
this.
And
I said no. I said obviously they wouldn't win. Annabelle, was that the correct decision?
I agree with you. Yeah, yep. For reasons I don't know.
I just wanted to talk about them because I loved them so much and I was quite shook post our scandal that they had split. But let's talk about our first nominee. Of course, it is Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas. I mean, surely, guys, this one is self-explanatory.
Self-explanatory and surely the winner, you would think. In September, news leaked that Joe and Sophie were splitting. At least I don't think Sophie knew this at the time. It actually all kicked off with a report in TMZ on September 3rd that Joe was shopping around for divorce lawyers in LA. Whoever is in Joe's team spoke to TMZ and they were really out to trash Sophie.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, don't forget the stories that came out after that divorce about him spotting something in a Ring camera.
Yeah, her being a partier.
And not wanting to stay at home with the kids. There were so many inferences throughout a lot of the leakings to TMZ over the course of just a few days. I mean, the smear campaign, though, I would call it a smear campaign.
Yeah,
I think
for
that's
sure.
Fair. It completely backfired because the public emphatically rallied around Sophie and Joe looked like a bit of a dill.
He looked really, really silly. I think this was such a misstep from his team. He actually could have been a nominee for Clanger of the Year just with his PR strategy around all of this. Sophie looked so much better because she didn't really do much at all. She let him, dare I say, dig his own grave.
Yeah.
She went to ground. The only time we saw her was when she was going to dinner with Taylor Swift, and Taylor Swift was looking really pissed off in pap shots.
Yeah, well, they definitely linked arms and kind of made themselves a team in all of this. Mm-hmm. It was pretty fascinating to watch. I think what I find most interesting, so I actually can't stop doing this with the velvet cat. Just rubbing it.
Just stroking it like a cat.
So for those who aren't watching and are just listening, there's a sitting on a velvet couch and it is the smoothest thing.
It's also one of those couches where you can draw yourself a little
I just
image.
Feel loved. I do this.
It's like a warm hug.
Yeah, anyway, I'll keep doing this. And so now that I flagged it.
What she kissed Peregrine Pearson.
Oh, sorry, we forgot about that. Yes. Yeah, no. Oh, actually, I wasn't going to say that. What I was going to say is these two had this really dramatic, very public falling out. They then had their child custody sort of arrangement decided through mediation. Mm. And then this story fell off a cliff. And I think that's what I found most fascinating about this story, because I'm like, this was everywhere and then it was suddenly nowhere. And I wonder how that happened. Like, when they were finally in mediation, were they both coming to the same table and deciding that now this was going to kind of happen behind closed doors?
Yes.
It is fascinating to me how quickly we stopped talking about this.
They must have come to some kind of agreement that nothing would go through the media anymore. They would have had to, because
it was bad.
We were seeing Joe out papped with the kids, and we had never seen that during their entire marriage. They'd been so private. Then all of a sudden he's on ice cream dates with his children and it's ending up in the media. I just think this was a really fascinating story, probably one of the biggest stories of the year for mine. And I mean, I kind of still really, really wonder. I actually think my Roman Empire is what the hell happened between these two. Like, remember the reports that they had a big argument on his birthday?
Yeah.
I want to know what it was about.
I don't know if my Roman Empire is as much what happened between them, but my Roman Empire is actually what his PR team were doing and like what the conversations were behind closed doors where they thought this was going to work. I mean, clearly they decided it wasn't, and that's why the news died down as well. But I am fascinated by that as well. So that's nominee number one.
Nominee number two, Hugh Jackman and Deborah Lee Furness. It wasn't as dramatic. It might have been equally shocking, dare I say, on the 15th of September as we were in the thick of Joe and Sophie news. People magazine reported that after 27 years of marriage, Hugh and Deborah were headed for Splitsville as well.
Splitsville! Oh my God, we're suddenly the Daily Mail.
I'm suddenly 55 years old. Do we think that Hugh and Deborah timed this to come out in the thick of Joe and Sophie so it was less of a splash?
I think September generally is quite a busy time anyway. I think I actually just made that up.
Busy in what regard?
Oh, I don't know. You know when you just know you're starting to talk out of your heart and you need to stop yourself? Okay, what do I think about September? I mean, perhaps we'd already been talking a lot about divorces, though. Mm. Like, there had been so many conversations about how many divorces were happening this year. They probably thought they could slip this one in. I mean, they were never going to properly slip it in. People were genuinely...
Slip it in.
Let's not draw attention to it.
No. This shocked a lot of people. I got quite a lot of SOS messages from my mother the day that the news dropped. Interestingly, but not surprisingly for mine, there's been no news of either of them really since they've split. Neither of them have spoken to the press. Hugh Jackman's popped up once again with Taylor Swift and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's just being spotted with
Taylor
Swift.
Are they paying Taylor?
I don't know. She's like the post-breakup strategy, PR strategy, and I think it works.
Do we care more about them or do we care more about Joe and Sophie?
Joe and Sophie.
But I think that's by design of them giving us so little.
Yeah, agree. Our third nominee for this category, Will and Jada, who aren't divorced but have been separated almost since the dawn of time.
Yes. Yeah. I think longer than we've been doing this show.
Genuinely longer than we've been doing the show. The entire time we've done Shameless, Will and Jada not together.
No.
Splitsville from the beginning.
Absolute Splitsville, guys.
They've been living there for years. Now, Jada Pinkett Smith's memoir was released in October, and in it she wrote about the fact that, as we keep saying, her and Will Smith have been separated for years but not divorced. Now, in 2016, these two decided that they wanted to live separate lives. They never wanted a divorce, which meant, of course, that during that great big dramatic slap, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth at the 2022 Academy Awards, they weren't actually together.
Yeah, they weren't, which actually means Will and Jada might be the only people mentioned in both COs so far. They were up for the Golden COA last year.
Well, Will was, yeah.
Will was for the slap. Now, of course, we find this increasingly odd because of the August Alsina entanglement drama as well. Everyone, almost lost her script. Everyone assumed Jada was cheating on Will with August, this guy who's like 2 decades her junior. But she wasn't. She wasn't even.
Oh my God, I snorted. I'm not handling this setup very well. I'm much better in my own studio.
Sarah's craving a desk. Zara really wants a desk. The funny thing about this is for years I've been like, maybe we get couches, and Zara's like, no, I want a table.
I need a desk, no, I'm realizing a computer, why. A table. I need, I'm out of
Zara routine. Wants to be in the warm embrace of the office.
Yeah, although.
Yeah, for someone who hates couches, you keep touching this one.
Yeah, it's just, it's all new. Now, the further I get away from this Will and Jada story, the less I understand it. That is why it's a nominee for Divorce of the Year.
Who are our votes going to? Annabelle, you can grab the gold envelope.
I'm
going
to grab it. As I say, mine goes to Sophie and Joe.
Yeah, I think Sophie and Joe are a clear winner, right?
Yeah, I think they have to be the winners.
Just posing for the camera, because why not? Okay, and the award goes to Sophie and Joe.
Yay!
Of surprise to absolutely nobody. Our fourth category, the alleged / smoky love triangle of the year. I think some people would have heard the contenders, the nominees for Divorce of the Year, and wondered, girlies, where the fuck is Ariana Grande? And we're here to tell you, she's right here in the love triangle category.
The alleged love triangle.
Alleged.
The smoky love triangle. We're just keeping ourselves safe. Now, of course, Ariana Grande, Ethan Slater, Lily J, mammoth story from the middle of this year. This all sort of kicked off in July this year. Can everyone hear my glass clinking? I might put my drink down for the moment. We learned that not only was she no longer married to Dalton Gomez, she turned up at Wimbledon without a ring, but actually, something was going on with her co-star on Wicked.
She was getting freaky with SpongeBob.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
getting freaky with SpongeBob.
I reckon.
Splitsville, and then
in fairness to Michelle,
having sex with SpongeBob.
I think it makes more sense to say getting freaky with SpongeBob.
Getting freaky with SpongeBob, sure. And then of course when you throw in the fact that SpongeBob was betrothed or married to another woman,
Lily J,
it got a little messy. Now this all happened over the course of 3 weeks. Ethan Slater had been married to Lily J for quite a while. He'd been with her for a decade.
Yeah.
Married for a couple of years. They had a baby who was not yet one.
I know. Now, Ethan's team insisted that his marriage was legally intact but symbolically over.
Convenient.
When he hooked up with Ariana. Ethan's wife was very direct in saying that not all was well.
No.
It was very confusing.
It was quite confusing. Sources told the tabloids that Ariana and Ethan's relationship had been going on for several months. And yet, we had proof that in May, screenshots that said that in May, 2 months before this news broke, Ethan had posted quite an adoring and loving Mother's Day post to Lily J. So the math was not mathing.
It wasn't mathing. But again, also that is, if you want to believe the tabloid reports that had been going on for months, like you have to take everything with a little grain of salt. But it didn't help that Lily J went to Page Six and then said this. Ariana is the story, really, not a girl's girl. My family is just collateral damage. The story is her and Dalton, which is a line that I still can't quite make sense of.
No, neither. What we can make sense of is the fact that Ethan filed for divorce 6 days after the headlines first broke. As of right now, it certainly appears that Ariana and Ethan Slater are still together. They are being papped all around town. Remains to be seen what this relationship will do for the promotion of the Wicked movies.
I think quite a bit.
Quite a bit. I mean, there's two movies coming out, so they need to ramp up that promo as it is.
100%. Our second nominee, the triangle between Natalie Portman, Benjamin Millipede, and Camille Etienne.
I love that. Camille Etienne, I could just say her name 1,000 times over it. For that reason, they're my winners.
Yeah, so Frenchy, so chic. Now, remember, guys, when Page Six posted an article, or published, I should say, an article with the title, Natalie Portman, Benjamin Millipede, Fight for Marriage Amid His Affair with a 25-Year-Old. Now, this story was quite confusing, and we're going to kind of keep the timeline as clear as possible. Basically, at the end of May this year, a French tabloid called Voici, which Michelle tends to call Voici, accused Natalie Portman's husband of cheating on her with a 25-year-old climate activist named Camille Etienne. Now, to support their claims, Voici...
When that happens.
Well, I'm rubbing off on her today. Snorting, getting bogan.
I'm not accents. A natural bogan. It's not fair.
I'm proud to be a bogan.
I actually am a natural bogan as well. I just try to fight it. Now, Voici published photos of them going into his office separately on May 24 and exiting 10 minutes apart almost 2 hours later. Now, of note in this was the claim that the affair had been going on for some time, but that Natalie Portman had found out about the affair in March. So you've got the photos in May, but also reports that Natalie Portman had actually found out about this 2 months later.
And the inference was she found out, obviously wasn't stoked about it, but decided to work through
it. Well, yes.
That was the inference.
I think so, but then it's still going on. What I think Wasi was trying to do is saying, yeah, Natalie knew about this, but actually it's still going on because look at the meetup.
Yeah. Absolutely. The photos were definitely suspect. Now, Page Six reported that Natalie and Benjamin had split or had a small break in November 2022.
Which is even more confusing.
Yeah, apparently when she was filming, I think it's called May December. It's the movie that is doing the rounds right now that everyone's talking about. Apparently on the set of that film, things were bad and the entire cast and crew knew that Natalie Portman's marriage was in trouble. But then in Page Six's report, they definitely suggested that Natalie and Benjamin were together at the time these photos of him and Camille were taken. There was a pap shot of them kissing at dinner just days before. I guess to say, look, maybe these two relationships were happening simultaneously in May.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Allegedly.
Smoking.
Yeah. I mean, fast forward to now, I'm pretty sure these two are over. Like, they have been seen together, spending time with their kids. But I feel like we haven't seen her with her wedding ring.
No.
He's not wearing his.
No.
I don't know. Reports say the marriage is over. Natalie's not talking to the press. I do love Natalie Portman. I don't know if you guys have been watching much of the May-December press tour. It's all over my TikTok feed
obsessed
at the moment.
Obsessed with Natalie Portman.
She just comes across so incredibly well in every piece of press she does. I really loved her Actors on Actors. Yes. I know I spoke about this last week. I was going home to watch it with Paul Mescal.
So good.
It's just, she just seems delightful.
She's very supportive of someone who's like kind of new on the scene.
100%. Now, I couldn't have better things to say about Natalie Portman having never met
Benjamin,
her.
On the other hand.
Yeah,
just
I know.
Just kidding. No, it's all alleged.
It is all alleged.
Our third story.
Our third nomination.
Princess Mary, Prince Frederick, and Genoveva Casanova. This wasn't even that long ago, guys. In early November, a Spanish tabloid called Lecturus published this. Exclusive. Genoveva Casanova and Frederico from Denmark together in Madrid. The photos that everyone is talking about.
Same kind of deal here, right? These photos were taken in October this year when Frederick was visiting Spain. Princess Mary was notably overseas. I think she was in New York.
She was NYC, yes.
With the UN as well. Now, the tabloids reported that they went to like a Picasso exhibition together. People magazine reported that it was because she was just such a wonderful expert in Picasso. And they went to dinner.
I just love art.
And then they were seen.
I'm getting freaky. No, allegedly.
Allegedly. And then entering her apartment 10 minutes or a few minutes apart, right?
Yeah. This was the thing. Like, they were wearing completely different outfits. Like, these photos were taken over the course of hours. They were going in and out of this apartment.
But never together.
Never together. But he did stay the night, apparently, in her apartment after they got dinner together. Probably talking about Picasso.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. If she knew so much about it, you might as well squeeze as much info as
Get
you can.
A really deep D&M about Picasso.
Now, the royal family didn't say much about this, guys, as they never do. They said, we have maintained a policy for years of not commenting on or confirming any details related to private matters. Additionally, we would like to emphasise our commitment to respecting the privacy of members of the royal family, including the Crown Prince. Mm. For what it's worth, Genoveva Casanova has denied the affair. She released a statement, Mish.
I categorically deny the statements that suggest a romantic relationship between Prince Frederick and me. Any statement of this type not only completely lacks the truth, but also misrepresents the facts in a malicious manner.
Fair enough.
Apologies.
Since then, nothing has happened. Story has died. Princess Mary came out and wore a necklace with the F.
Isn't there an F on it? Yeah. Oh.
And it's just, I honestly think if you just come out, united front, never say anything, these stories tend to die.
They do tend to die until we do our end of year awards. I know. And bring them back up for everyone.
And we remind everyone. And our fourth and final nominee.
Zara fought for this one to be included.
You all will understand why. Sydney Sweeney, Glenn Powell and Gigi Paris. Now, you guys might be sitting there thinking, okay, but Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell aren't dating. And that is fair. They're not dating. But I would still call this a public love triangle because Gigi Paris, I think, wanted us to think it was.
I also think you're ahead of the curve with this one because you did have to convince me to include it. But then now my entire TikTok feed is full of Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell looking at each other like they want to maybe eat each other.
Well, they're doing the press for Anyone But You. And did you see, I think it was an interview on Good Morning America with Hoda Kotb.
Yes.
And she was like, so are you guys dating? And they just went bright red and they were like, no, but we really love each other.
She's like, but you're so cute together. I'm like, Hoda, Sydney's engaged to another man.
I kind of respected how forward it was. I would be too nervous asking the question. But let's recap what happened, right? Cast your minds back to April this year. So a little while ago, the world suspected that something was going on between Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell. They reportedly got close on the set of Anyone But You when they were filming in Sydney. They were the most beautiful pap shots taken of them filming.
Pap shots. And then do you remember the TikTok video that went viral where they were sitting on the couch? She's sitting on his lap facing him, right? So imagine I'm straddling Zara now.
Yeah, straddling. Yeah.
Straddling Zara. And then Zara tips me back and I... Sorry for if you're not watching this, but I go like this on camera and just look absolutely stunning. It looked like two people in love.
Oh, there was definitely... They definitely got closer than I would want my partner to get with somebody else when they were
stoked about it.
Working together. Now, of course, Mish mentioned before Sydney Sweeney is engaged, correct? His name is Jonathan DeVino. He's not a very public person. They keep their relationship quite private.
Quite a bit older than her, though.
Yeah. Yes. Meanwhile, Glenn Powell, when he was shooting Anyone But You, was in a relationship with a model named Gigi Paris. Now, at the start of April, Gigi paid Glenn a visit to the set in Sydney. When she got back, she posted a photo with the caption "Never Better" with a wave emoji.
I think the wave emoji was crucial, and also like she looked incredibly. She is very hot. She's a model, but she looked particularly hot. It was giving revenge photo, waving goodbye vibes.
I agree. She then posted a moody Instagram story that read, "Gut feelings are guardian angels."
She's not wrong.
She then unfollowed Glenn and Sydney, and then she shared the song. And by this point, conversations were happening.
They were swirling.
She knew people were watching her.
Absolutely.
And she shared the song "Respect" by Aretha Franklin on her Instagram.
That is the cherry on top of the story.
We love our subtle queen.
Yeah, I couldn't have loved this more. I mean, it's interesting because people also then went to stalk Glenn and Sydney from their time together on the set of this show. They were posting very much in each other's families.
Yeah, they were like spending all of their time when they weren't filming. You would think that that's the time that you go, I don't know, be by yourself, take a breather. They were spending it all together. Like going to the zoo and stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Now, fast forward to now, Sydney does seem to still be with her fiance. As we mentioned before, they're thick in the press for this film. I think at the very least, these rumors may be awkward for them, great for the film. I will be watching this film. I cannot wait.
I cannot wait for this film.
I'm watching it tonight, yeah.
Oh, get it. Can you tell us the winner then? Because that's our fourth and final nomination.
Absolutely.
Who are we voting for? I think mine's got to go to Ariana. Dalton, Lily J.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Sydney.
Oh,
I don't know why.
But maybe do you think that they're going to win?
No, I don't. I do think Ariana's going to win. But okay, I'm trying to spice it up, guys.
Yeah, fair enough. Although, okay. I think this category needed any more spicing.
It doesn't, because it goes to Ariana.
Yay!
And Lily.
Clap again.
I don't want to brag, but I am 4 from 4.
Did you get the first one? I thought you said
I said...
It's a solid clap as well.
I'm pretty sure I said the listeners will have voted for this, but to keep it spicy, I'll vote for Molly Gunn.
See, I thought the award, we were guessing what the listeners were voting. We're all measuring different things here.
Well, and according to my measurements, I'm 100%.
And you know what? That's most important. According to my measurements of my own life, I'm 100% always.
You have to love yourself first.
Yeah. All right, now. our final category, we're here.
Yay!
The Golden Seoa. Guys, the first nominee for the Golden Seoa, which is, of course, to recognize the biggest story of the year. It's the story that influenced pop culture, or that when you think back, like when we're 10 years older and we think back to 2023, this is supposed to be the story that we go, oh,
that was the year of X.
Remember this? Last year I think it went to Don't Worry Darling and the whole fiasco.
Yeah, and that checks out.
Does check out. I think it deserved to win.
Speaking of that, do you think end of next year or mid to end of next year is too early for us to release a scandal on that?
Mate, I'd happily do a scandal on that.
Do you reckon it's time?
Yeah, I'd love a recap.
I would love a recap because I've already forgotten a lot of the details.
I still think about the special salad dressing all the time.
Yeah, the special. Yeah. The special
and I think dressing. Something will happen with one of the plays in that story in about a year's time.
There'll be like an expose to bring it back. Yeah. Remember also the memes where Christopher Pine was throwing a goat on
Christopher
Harry Styles?
Pine? I don't know.
Throwing a goat. Yeah.
His full name. Christopher James Pine.
Wait, is it Christopher Pine?
I think he just goes by Chris Pine.
But look, we're not movie buffs, so we just go by what his real name is.
Was it Christopher Pine a politician?
Harold Styles is Christopher Pine.
Oh, yeah, Christopher Pine has a podcast now. He's a former politician.
Maybe that's why it's in my head.
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine. Definitely not Christopher.
I don't know why I'm really dragging myself.
I honestly thought, I'm on your team. I thought it was Christopher Pine.
I remember when Christopher Pine.
And threw a goat. All right, shall we get to the nominees?
Yeah, our first nominee is Scandal.
I'm not sure this is a good one.
I fought for this one, and I know it won't win, but I would just like to take us back here. In March, the world turned its attention.
I'll put my clipboard down.
Yeah, you just take a break.
All right.
The world turned its attention. Rub the couch.
Yeah, give your hands some time to rub the couch.
Use both hands.
Oh, there's some fluff on it now.
Now, in March, the world turned its attention to the Bravo reality TV show Vanderpump Rules because TMZ broke the bombshell news that longtime star of the show, Tom Sandoval, had been caught in the ugliest of allegations. What were those allegations, you ask? Well, it was that he, despite being in a 10-year-long relationship with his co-star, Ariana Madix, had actually been getting freaky with their co-star of the show, Raquel Leviss.
Sorry, I'm doing this. I'm reapplying my lipstick.
Sarah's free doing her makeup. That's how checked out she is. Anyone want to add anything or are you happy for me to keep going?
Well, the big struggle for us this year was the fact that this story, no, it wasn't this one. Was it this was one it that this broke one? When you were away or was it another
it was
house?
No, that was that was the story about Kyle Richards and Maurice.
They all blend into one.
They blend into one.
Maybe heading for divorce.
A Michelle Andrews story.
They're just the Bravo universe. I know I've got so many people listening though who are on this bandwagon with me, and for those listeners, let me keep going.
No, I'm not kidding when I say I'm not doing any of the heavy lifting here.
Sarah's literally just sitting here like she's an audience member of my podcast.
Tell me more.
All right, Zara, well, as far as scandalous celebrity stories are concerned, I think this is a top contender. Scandal had everything. We had the matching lightning bolt necklaces.
Yes. I liked that detail, yeah.
Yeah, that was a secret love pact between them to say I love you when they're in the same room, but Ariana was also with them. We had, of course, the fact that the cameras were rolling and caught the initial screaming matches between Tom and Ariana in their living room. We had thousands upon thousands of fans flooding Tom Sandoval's bar with one-star Google and Yelp reviews. I'm seeing some nods. Thank you, ladies.
Very engaged.
We had the allegations that another co-star, Sheena Shea, hit/punched Raquel in the face. What? Do we remember this?
No.
Well, she took out a temporary restraining order.
Oh, man.
We had the notes app apology from Tom Sandoval that didn't even mention Ariana.
Not true. Once.
No. Oh, no, he had to issue a second notes app apology. The first one, famously, only apologized to his business co-founders.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah. It was all fascinating. I think we can all agree.
Back on.
And then finally, we had the revenge arc of Ariana Madix, a woman who turned lemons into lemonade. Tabloid reports have suggested she made $1 million out of this. I think that is too conservative. I think given how many
100%.
Endorsements she signed, how many TV shows she's been on since, the fact she doubled her Instagram following, gained 1 million followers after this happened, I think we're looking, dare I say, at about $4 or $5 million.
Well, there she got there you have it, folks.
Yeah. Wow.
Just like Zara saying, September's the busiest time of the year. I've got nothing to back it up.
It's quite a busy time of year. All right. First nominee. Second nominee, Barbie Mania, of course.
I'm putting my notes up.
I'll take you on this ride. Now, in July, Barbie finally hit cinemas. When we say it hit cinemas, it overwhelmed cinemas. It annihilated cinemas. I mean, of course, starring Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, directed by Greta Gerwig. You know what happened. It has so far grossed $1.442 billion USD worldwide, became the highest grossing film of 2023, the highest grossing film by a solo female director, as well as the 14th highest grossing film of all time. I think the business story behind this film is something that I know has been told, but I actually wouldn't mind telling it properly one day in some kind of shameless format, because I think the lengths that Margot Robbie and Tom Ackley and Lucky Chap Entertainment went to get this film off the ground, the rights to this film had been circulating for a long time. So many different names had been attached to it. No one thought they could get it off the ground. And the fact that they didn't only just get it off the ground, but it is one of the biggest movies of all time, is is a real testament to their business savviness, I would say.
It's also great that it did take this long because remember the initial reports. In fact, this was confirmed that Amy Schumer was going to play Barbie.
And then Anne Hathaway was attached to it.
So many iterations, and they needed to go through all of that to land on the right one, which was Margot.
Absolutely. Now, of course, the marketing strategy here was second to none. And I do think it's one of the main things people think of when they think about Barbie from this year. We had Warner Brothers hosting a Barbie cruise in June. Mattel announced 100 brand collaborations to celebrate the launch of Barbie, including one with Xbox to create Barbie-themed consoles. We had the Barbie film set in Architectural Digest. It was then announced that Barbie would be partnering with Airbnb. Oh, I'm not going to say it. I thought about it.
You looked at me as if you'd be like, are we going to edit that out?
Do I edit
Airbnb and Brie?
It's with Airbnb to give away a frustray in a Malibu Barbie dream house.
The Malibu Barbie dream house, I think, was the most impressive of all of this. Like the fact that they literally built a hot pink mansion just to use for promo and then actually rented it out.
Yeah, there was also a TV show hosted by Ashley Graham called Barbie Dreamhouse Challenge. Of course, Margot Robbie then took to a million different red carpets in so many different iconic Barbie looks.
She like went deep into the archives and recreated everything. That actually was maybe one of my other favorite parts of this marketing
strategy.
Totally.
I mean, reports at the time said that this film's budget was $100 million. There were reports from the Hollywood Reporter that said the marketing budget, which is outside of that $100 mil budget, was $150 mil.
Spent more on marketing than the movie itself.
And what didn't it pay off? It was a very well thought out strategy. Barbie was so big. She was nominated for Time Person of the Year.
Was she?
Yeah, she was nominated, but she lost out to our next nominee.
What a Sugiwe. What a Sugiwe. Our third and final nominee for Golden CEOA of 2023 is Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I love that you looked at your notes.
What's her name again?
I was trying to figure out a creative way of saying it, and then I looked at my notes and went, I've got
Taylor
nothing.
Swift. The thing is, what I found really fascinating or really fun when I was trying to go back and track the timeline of Taylor Swift from this year. Obviously, we've been talking about her a lot. She did win Time Person of the Year, but going back through the timeline was so interesting. I loved that the New York Times called 2023 Taylor Swift's viral era. I think that really encapsulates, she was just viral constantly. Do you want me to take you through the timeline of this year with Taylor Swift headlines?
There were so many.
So on March 17, this all kicked off, I would say.
My birthday.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Maybe we are kindred spirits.
That is actually quite an interesting fact. Well done. Now, I'm not even being sarcastic. That's great. Now, Taylor Swift launched her much anticipated Eras Tour. She had her first show, and from then on, she was all we spoke about. 3 weeks after her first show, it was announced that her and Joe Alwyn had broken up. Took everybody by surprise.
Well, so much surprise that people were in denial. Famously, when we shared this on Instagram,
everyone told us it wasn't true.
Some very, very grumpy people telling us that we were jumping onto something that was fake news.
Fake news. It was not fake news. Now, by May 3, so it was under a month after the breakup with Joe was announced, Taylor began dating, or it was announced that Taylor had begun dating Matty Healy of the 1975. Days after those reports came out, I remember this vividly. It was on like a Tuesday that reports came out via The Sun, anonymous sourcing, and we were like, surely not, surely not, surely not. By Friday and Saturday, he was at both her Nashville shows. Do you remember at one of these shows, I can't remember if it was one of those two shows or a week later, where she mouthed, "This is about you, you know who you are, I love you," which is something that he had mouthed at his show.
I've been thinking about this because I couldn't make sense in my head why she looked at the cameras in the audience and said, "This is about you, you know who you are, I love you." Because we had known that they'd done a collab together, right? It never saw the light of day, but 1975 and Taylor Swift collabed on some kind of musical project. I think this was some kind of teaser that's a lyric in the song, maybe, or something to do with the song, maybe a music video. And that's why they both did it. But then maybe the music wasn't quite there, wasn't quite good enough. They broke up and it never got released.
I don't know.
Do you hate my theory?
I don't hate your theory. I think there's something to it. I don't think it's as simple as her really leaning into the public nature of this relationship and doing something zany.
I think it has to be promo for something. This is very quick after the Joe Alwyn stuff.
And I think, as we all remember, I'm sure, it was announced that these two were together, Matty Healy suddenly found himself the center of controversy so often. Like, we were digging up his old stuff. A month later, they split. So they were only together for a month.
It was a hot second.
In July. So July 7th. so this is a month after they've broken up, Speak Now debuts. She becomes the woman with the most chart-topping albums in history. That same month, Travis Kelce goes to a Taylor Swift concert and he goes on his podcast and said that he had hoped to slip her his number.
He made a friendship bracelet.
They weren't able to meet. Apparently she has to save her voice.
Yep. He was very upset about this. But then fast forward to September 24, Taylor Swift rocks up at a Kansas City Chiefs game, the first of many public appearances that these two would make as a couple.
Crazy. By October 13, her Eras Tour film opened in theatres, making $92 million in its opening weekend and $249 million. This is all in USD again. Wow. Becoming the highest grossing concert film of all time. By the end of October.
We're tired. Imagine Taylor.
By the end of October, 1989, Taylor's version came out. By November, she was announced as the most streamed artist on Spotify and Apple that year. In December, she was Time's Person of the Year. There is so much I haven't mentioned. I haven't mentioned the Ice Spice collab that was arguably made because of the Maddie Healy
drama. Stuff, of course.
I haven't spoken about Kylie Kloss turning up to one of her concerts. Yeah. I haven't talked about the resurgence of Cruel Summer and how that's arguably become her biggest song this year.
Well, that's almost been the biggest song of 2023, and it was released 4 years ago. So she's just had a colossal, colossal year. And apologies again to the three listeners who hate us talking about Taylor Swift. I think you're about to find out that she's won the Golden Snow.
I think you're about to find that out too. I've got to say, I love doing these awards, but I wish the results weren't so obvious.
Yeah. Do we think it's Taylor?
Yeah.
I think I would love it to be
who
Barbie.
Who would you guys vote? Oh, you would vote
I would
for
love
Barbie.
It to be. I would vote for Taylor, but I would love it to be Barbie.
Okay.
I think it's Taylor. Also, in an episode earlier this year, I said that I liked Taylor a 6 out of 10.
This was Annabelle, guys. She said this early this year and she really wants to correct the record.
Please, Taylor, I'm so sorry, forgive me.
What are you now?
I think I'm a 9.
No way.
Well, because then Spotify Wrapped came out and I'm like in her top 1%.
Yeah, no, Annabelle's stats definitely hinted towards being a 9 or a 10 out of 10.
I don't know why I'm in denial. I've got to unpack that in my own time. In my own time.
Honestly.
In the break.
The list is busy enough.
Okay. Sorry, it's just a long one. Do you want me to read out the actual card
for
you?
Yeah, yeah.
Literally everything to do with Taylor Swift. Yay. Breaking up with Joe Alwyn, the Eras Tour, Maddie Healy, Travis Kelce, etc., etc., etc.
I'm curious.
Yay!
Congratulations to Taylor. I know she'll consider this the biggest award that she's won this year. Chelsea, I know you're off camera. What was the breakdown of like stats for this award? Was it a sweep? Was it like a clean sweep for Taylor?
Like 90% Taylor.
Again, crying for the three listeners.
So you probably don't listen anymore. I'm so sorry, guys.
They tuned out in September. I'm so fucking
It was a big month, September. We lost three whole listeners.
Notoriously busy. Guys, that is all we've got time for today. It's our last show of the year. Oh my God. Well,
apart from Scandal. Scandal never gets a break. Poor Scandal.
Scandal will be dropping over the break. We will be taking 3 weeks off our Thursday show. We will be back sort of mid-January. The date's not in the top of my head, but if you think of 3 Thursdays off, then
14
we're back.
Is, 14 is giving me a good vibe.
It's
but
not 14, you know.
Wildly wrong.
I've got my phone in here. I will get you the date.
And while she looks, what should we talk about?
What are you doing over the break, Annabelle?
The first episode back is the 18th of January.
Yes.
We have some pretty solid scandals going over this period. One in particular that I'm very, very excited
very
to drop.
Very summery, very sugary.
It's exactly, I think, what you guys are going to want over the summer, if I may pump that up.
Yep. It rhymes with nice meals.
Oh, what the hell?
What the
Why
heck?
Would you spoil it? Nice meals is so obvious.
It's like a compliment. Nice meals, Mitch. Love your meals.
I actually quite like that. Say it again.
Nice meals,
Mitch.
No one knows what it means. And in the meantime, that's kind of all we've got. Any last comments for the year?
Love you guys. Thanks for a great year.
It's been a great one.
It's been a solid year. Another shout out to Dave Gallifassi.
Yeah.
Special mention to Dave.
He popped up again. He is hoping we see Dave Gallifassi in 2024.
Can we maybe have a whole section? And the 2024 CO is, if he pops up again, we just need to give him the Dave Gallifassi Award. The Wavy Boy Award.
Yeah. I've suddenly remembered I was supposed to do Dave faces. Who's Dave? Give you a bunch of faces to show you. Next year, hopefully he's still relevant.
We've got so much time. This has been the worst outro ever. Thanks, guys, for such a great year. We appreciate you so much. Thanks for watching if you watch this one. It's a real test and learn, and I'm not sure if we've nailed it or not. Come and support the show. We are on Instagram @ShamelessPodcast, TikTok @Shameless_podcast. I have loved doing the show this this year.
Oh my God. My favorite year doing the show. It's such an enjoyable time to be in this kind of content.
Yeah, I actually think I fell in love with doing the show this year. It sounds very earnest, but I don't think recording this show was always my favorite part of the job, I have to be honest. Mm. I would always joke that my favorite part of my job was sitting behind my computer and tapping on my computer with my headphones on. But this show has been such a beautiful distraction. I think I've just leaned into the fun.
It's been really joyful this year.
And I feel the show has distracted me as well.
Yes.
And I think in understanding how it's distracted me, I can kind of understand a bit more how it distracts other people. So, I mean, 5 years in, it's my favourite thing to do.
Do you guys want a hug?
We've got the couch.
Let's all rub the couch
instead.
We're out. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Shameless Media.
This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Oh, hi, it's Annabelle Lee and Louis Hansen here. We are your hosts of Everybody Has a Secret.
Woo!
Woo! We are here essentially just to let you know that we drop episodes every week now. Every damn Friday morning, we are in your ears.
That is so exciting. What a time to be in your ear holes. So essentially, each episode, we unpack the real life secrets of our listeners. So this is for everyone who loves, you know, just a little bit of gossip in their lives, which, let's be real, Annabelle, is all of us.
It's absolutely all of us. Don't lie. You all love gossip. So if you want to listen to our show, please do head to your favourite podcast app and listen now.
See you there.
Bye.